from Genesis chapter 1 going into chapter 2. Just a short reading from verse 31 of chapter 1. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. When it comes to getting through life, your personal walk or journey in this lifespan with God, and by that, I mean walking in the right way, close to God, knowing his guidance, being able to cope with anything that's thrown at you. The best advice that I can give to you is maintain your Sabbath rest. Over the last few weeks, we have been speaking repeatedly about how God's people are called to a pilgrim journey through this life. But you can only maintain a pilgrim journey if you have Sabbath rest along the way. You are called to journey, but you're also designed for rest. And those two things must come together. It's part of your design because you are made in the image of God. Let me remind you of some verses that came a little before the ones we read earlier. From verse 26, Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Notice how that started. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may do that. Do you see the purpose? Made in the image of God in order that we may have purpose and fulfill our purpose here to rule over the fish, birds, animals in this world. Of course, this was amended later after the fall when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden Eden, and suddenly human beings had to work for a living. We had to gather our own foods and all the other things that come with life. But the principle, God made us in his image so that we could fulfill the purpose that God had given to us. And then verse 27 goes on, so God created mankind in his own image. So let me put those two things together. The creation of the world, the creation of human beings made in the image of God comes at the end of the whole creation story. God's creation work. That's when humans are created. At the end of God's work. And then even God rested. He worked, he was creative, and he rested. And you, designed in the image of God, were designed to do the same thing. Having completed his work of creation, God rested. And he didn't rest because he was worn out. He's God. He doesn't get worn out. He rests as one who was well pleased, satisfied, because his work is done. And he looked at it and it was very, very good. He spends the seventh day resting, resting. But he's able to rest because he can look back and see that his purpose is fulfilled. His job is done. It's about taking stock, recognizing the context of his purpose. God doesn't rest because he's exhausted. It's not relief from exhaustion. This day of rest is a celebration of life, of creativity, of achievement. It's a day to rest, to take understanding of our purpose, to take and gain perspective once more. Then God, again, in whose image we are made, blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. So on this seventh day, he rested, he took stock, and then he blessed it and made it holy for us, who he'd made in his own image. We designed in his image to be creative, to have purpose, to work. And by that, I don't just mean the paid stuff that we get or work in a home, bringing up children and so on, but having purpose in this world, even picking a phone up and giving encouragement to somebody, being engaged with a church and praying, purpose. Smiling at someone on the cash counter at Tesco and being able to say to them, you matter. Having an impact with whatever groups that we work with, our families, the people around us. Being able to communicate and be a blessing, being that priestly blessing in the world, that's purpose. We do all of these things. But then God designed the seventh day to be holy, set apart, designed to be part of our weekly rhythm of life. And if we're designed to have that weekly rhythm of a day of rest, why would we not? Let me illustrate that a little bit. It's not the only rhythm built into the creation that God gave into this world, of course. Do you remember the creation story for the leading up to the 4 days? First day brings light into the world. Second day, separating the waters, the skies were created. Third day, the waters, the seas, and the land separated. And on the fourth day, on the fourth day, the big light that governed the day, the small light that governed the night, the sun, the moon, the stars, to govern the seasons, to give us rhythms, the most important of which is day and night. When it goes dark, when you can't see to do your work, human beings have come to understand that's when we sleep. When I worked in Africa, the expats like me, when it got dark, flicked a switch on, and then we stayed up, had a meal, ate late, partied, talked, watched TV in the days when we had some kind of television. Whatever it was, we stayed up late, probably too late, and then got up late in the morning. The Zambians didn't do that. When it was six or so, they'd probably eaten by then. It's getting dark because it's close to the equator. There might be a fire burning and they chat after eating something, but then they would go to sleep, part of the rhythm of the day. And at 4:35, they were up. At six, they were working in the fields, doing whatever they were doing. They really got the rhythm of the day. No one who wasn't unwell would suggest it wasn't a good thing to sleep. Can you imagine going on a journey, wherever it is, walking the Essex Way, walking the Pennine Way, walking from Land's End to Jonagh Groats, and choosing not to sleep? How many days do you think you'd go before it would come catastrophically badly down on your own head? You'd end up reading the map incorrectly. You'd be so exhausted, you'd walk into a tree, trip over, break a leg, who knows what. We know how important sleep is. So if we wouldn't ignore that rhythm of the day, why would we ignore the rhythm of once a week having a day to rest properly? Of course, human beings know they need to rest to go to sleep. It's built into us. We get tired, our eyes close, we literally fall asleep. But the act of a spirit of a Sabbath day is a spiritual remembrance, particularly. And so God gave us help in that, because he knows that in this world, spiritual things, we are slow to grasp and fulfill. And we have an enemy, Satan, who lies to us, the deceiver, who persuades us it's not important. And so to confirm the importance of this Sabbath rest, God incorporated it in Exodus 20 into the Ten Commandments. Let me read it to you. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In fact, it's the fourth commandment. You know the first three, all about God. No other gods before me. Second, no idols. Third, do not misuse the name of the Lord. All about God. And then the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It's the one that links us to God. Let me read on from Exodus 20. 6 days you shall labor or do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons nor daughter, nor your male nor female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. That's interesting, isn't it? It's not just you, but the people you have influence over, your family, those people close to us, we are to guide to have a Sabbath break on the seventh day. That's a bit challenging, isn't it? He goes on. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now echoing, repeating the verses we started with in Genesis. God stepped back from what he was called to do, and he took perspective. And he saw that it was good. We live in a society where that Sabbath day principle has been broken. It probably started back in the 70s when we lost that, that the campaign that was going on at the time, Keep Sundays Special. And since then, I believe something else has happened in our society. Our society's got busier and busier, more and more hectic. Now, Sundays are pretty much the same as every other day of the week. We shop on Sundays, go to cinema on Sundays. We can do pretty much anything on a Sunday. For many people, they have to work on a Sunday. You even get hospital appointments on a Sunday. And I wonder how much we're paying a price for that. And I wonder what our role is to stand up against it. For example, we try to do what we can in to make sure our neighbors know on a Sunday, we do not do any of those things. I would not cut the lawn. I would not wash the car. I would not do anything that might be conceived as something normal, because for this day, this is not normal for us. We make it different. But it's really tough, isn't it? But you know, if you get a medical appointment on a Sunday, change it. That's my encouragement. I have never received an appointment for a medical service that doesn't say at the bottom on the piece of paper, if you cannot make this appointment, call this number. Almost certainly you would be able to rearrange. Don't have a fridge freezer delivered on a Sunday. Don't go onto the internet and buy things on a Sunday. Make it a day which is different. Because the world is paying a price. Earlier in Lorinda's prayer, she prayed for young people who are under immense stress today. Do you know there are in this nation 100,000 referrals to the organization that helps young people with mental health disorders? 100,000 referrals a month. For children aged between 6 and 16 in this nation, one in six has at least one mental health an illness or challenge in some respect. In the United States, it's 17%, the most common of which is depression and anxiety. Why? Why are things so difficult? And I know that, of course, we also have other things today. We have things like devices that many young people and adults are glued to. We can't do without our devices. And so we get stressed all the more because life is constantly at our beck and call and people demand. I wonder if there has ever been a time when we have needed to have a Sabbath rest like today. If God's people don't point that out to others, who will? Our society is massively broken, and I wonder just how much we are in trouble because we cannot put these rhythms that God has put in place to us. There is so much sickness in the world. And I wonder how much of it is because we don't do what God is asking us to do. But I want to get a perspective on what the Sabbath is about as well. God stepped back from what he was doing and he looked and he took perspective. He saw that it was very good. John Kersler wrote this about Sabbath. Sabbath affords a rest by which we are not so much restored as restored. We retell the story to ourselves. That's what we're doing now on Sundays. We do it week after week. We tell the story of God. We're reminded of the bigger picture of life. For stressed people, how much that is needed. Who God is, who we are. My goodness, how much that causes confusion in the world today, and especially among young people. It reminds us what life is about. In Jeremiah 6:16, Jeremiah wrote, "We stand at the crossroads and we ask for the ancient paths." This is what we can do on our Sabbath day, a break, when we come back and say, "Lord, show me who you are once more." Sabbath is not just for putting down paid work, or for that matter, all the domestic work and the jobs, the stuff of life that needs to be done. It's more, it's putting down the whole of life, all of its stresses, all the demands that people place on us. It's about putting that down. For a season, for a day, and taking up God's story, which is our story. It's creation story. It's our salvation story. It's our redemption story. It's the story of hope. It is the story of our priestly calling in this world. That's the story to take up again on the Sabbath. It's about renewing relationship with God, with one another, and again, gaining perspective, bringing God back into this day, back into our lives, and with it, bringing his peace. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. It is about saying, Lord, I'm here, speak. It's not a day actually when we step out for an hour on Zoom or physically to do church. Box ticked. I'm right in my relationship with God, yeah? Couldn't be further from the truth. It's not a day when we just do that and go through the motions. It's a time when we reconnect with God, God's kingdom. It is a time when we worship God, when we give him his rightful place, when we invite him to restore our soul, to reset our compass, to renew our joy. How much joy has been lost because God has been taken out of our lives. It is about reigniting our purpose and our passion for it and for God. It's about regaining perspective in our lives, in which we remind ourselves it is God that we journey with and journey for. It's why we were made. It's why all things were made in Christ and for Christ, as the Apostle Paul reminds us. And so as we look back and we regain a perspective like God in creation, we celebrate it and we rejoice. When we talk about rest, it is so easy, isn't it, for us to think about just simply not working. But again, remember Genesis, remember what God did when he rested. He saw, he got that perspective. He saw it was very good. That's sort of giving thanks, isn't it? Appreciation, being thankful. I wonder if we see Sabbath. Well, how do you see Sabbath? Do you see it as a ritual? No, it's just something we probably ought to do because we're Christians. I hope not. That's religion. Do you see it as just simply stopping from working? Okay, that's certainly a requirement. But do you also see it as a time to rediscover God and set our feet back on the path, on the pilgrim walk once more? And then, as we rediscover God, giving him a voice, so allowing him to speak into the stillness of the day, and then giving thanks for what is the life that he's given us and he is a part of in us. Eugene Peterson describes Sabbath like this. He says, it is a time to receive silence and let it deepen into gratitude. You can only receive silence when you give space for God to speak. Maybe that means turning off the TV all day, perhaps, the radio. Maybe going for a walk. Let God reveal himself in the beauty that illustrates him, that points to him, that illustrates his wonder and creative genius. Do you know, I can't, as a minister, do that. We can't do this, giving everyone silence and a time for God to speak, not in an hour, But on a, just on that on an hour as part of our Sabbath, which is why God gives us a Sabbath day. Our time together, I believe, is a crucial part of it. These DVDs that some of you are able to watch are a part of gathering and just reigniting, letting God speak. That's part of lighting the flame, bringing us back. But a Sabbath day is a time when we give ourselves space for God to speak, and space in which the other stuff is not permitted to crowd in. And it's tough. Maybe you can't do that on a Sunday. Maybe you need another time to do it. Be creative. I understand that it's tough, but a Sabbath break every week is what God says we need, because we're designed as God is designed. And on a Sabbath, we can then think about that purpose and who we are. We celebrate our creativity, the ways that perhaps we've blessed people, brought something in. If you cooked a meal this week and it was a cracker, then celebrate that. Celebrate the good things. Bring into your Sabbath, into your Sunday, which is the day for most people, when it's mostly a bit quieter, bring into that day a reminder of the wonderful things of life. Things the people that we've spoken to, the conversations that have gone by in the week just, and rejoice over God's involvement in all of it. Then, when we've got perspective, then we are equipped to start the week ahead. In his book about the Sabbath, Wayne Muller says this: because we do not rest, we lose our way. We miss the compass points that would show us where to go. We bypass the nourishment that would give us succor. We miss the quiet that would give us wisdom. We miss the joy that is born of effortless delight. Jesus gave an invitation for people to come. Do you remember that famous verse in Matthew 11? Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Most people I talk to are desperate for rest. That's what God invites. That's what Sabbath is a gift to achieve. Those verses from Matthew 11 are translated by Eugene Peterson in his modern translation of the Bible, The Message. And he puts it like this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? The box ticking. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how and sorry, walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. That's what we do on a Sunday, isn't it? We watch how Jesus did it. We see his example. And he goes on, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That is God's invitation to you. That is God's gift for you. Come and know rest. My final quote to you comes from Walter Brueggemann. He's a very famous theologian, and he says this: Sabbath is the refusal to let one's life be defined by production and consumption and the endless pursuit of private well-being, my own, someone else's. Let's live our lives not according to someone else's demands, but God's invitation. Let me pray God's blessing on you. Father God, thank you that you have given us Sabbath. Lord God, would you teach us to embrace it, recognize its wonder, recognize your blessing and anointing of this day. We stand on holy ground on the Sabbath. Lord, use it for each of us to strengthen us and bring us back to you, we pray. We pray, Holy Spirit, help us rest this Sabbath day. And as we do so, give us wisdom. We welcome your presence and revelation in our lives. Speak with my spirit, so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight today. Amen.